And we want to welcome you to this wonderful event on The Hope. My name is Rico Magnelli, and this is Reverend Tom Knupp and Reverend John Ryan. And we're very thankful to be with you. And this night is a reception where we can fellowship one with another, and we can leave the world behind, and we can just enjoy one another's fellowship. And the hotel's provided some wonderful treats for us, hot chocolate and specialty cupcakes. And I'm informed that they will continue to come out as we continue to eat them. So that's always positive. And we just wanted to share a few things with you about the weekend. And then what we'll do is we'll go back to fellowshipping together and eating more cupcakes and hot chocolate. And Dean will continue to play. So as you came in and registered, you received this wonderful booklet. And that has all the information you're going to need. And you'll hear more about that booklet as we develop throughout the weekend. But I want to read from the letter that's in the booklet. And it says, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God's abundant grace and peace be yours in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen and returning Lord and Savior." And that is a great truth, because He is risen from the dead and He is returning to gather His church, the body of Christ. And that's one of the things that we're going to learn more about here this weekend. It says, "Welcome to this Wonderful Hope Conference. We've been planning and preparing and praying for this event with you in mind and in heart." And that's very true. There's so many people that have been involved in this, countless hours of work and labor. And like, you can just see those wonderful decorations on the table. Those are all hand done. And yeah. Even the decorations on the stage and so much more. "We're gathering to learn and encourage one another with the knowledge and anticipation of the return of Christ." The return of Christ cannot be experienced, but the anticipation of the return of Christ can be experienced. And that's one of the things that we do as we joy and rejoice in light of that knowledge of the return of Christ. "Our hearts are full of joy and love, and we are moving forward with the things of God. This is a good work that we wholeheartedly embrace." Moving forward with the things of God, and one of the great things of God is the return of Christ. Then we quote Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so the much more as you see the day approaching." There's a great encouragement that the Christian believer can give one to another as we see the day approaching. And that phrase is very significant, because it will happen in one day, this return of Christ. Absolutely. And these verses, we're going to have wonderful sharings that people are going to key from these verses that are going to encourage us, brothers and sisters, that are going to encourage us as they see the day approaching. And we're going to enjoy those sharings keying off from these verses, which is going to be a wonderful blessing. And then it says, "An understanding of the return of Christ living in our hearts guides us in our decision-making and in what we value, because we know that the things of this earth are temporal." That is a great, great truth. The things of this earth are temporal. That means they're temporary. They're not eternal. And we're going to hear this theme ring throughout this weekend. So we can place value, more value if you will, on the things that are eternal, and perhaps a little less value on the things that are temporal. And this is a great guide for the Christian believer to balance themselves out as we journey through this life and we put more value and emphasis on the things which are eternal. Then it says in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We have an exceeding eternal weight of glory. And that is very profound and very moving to us. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That means anything that you can see is temporary, no matter what you're looking at. Anything you can see with these things. Everybody's got these?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you can see is temporal, and the things which you cannot see are eternal. And we're going to see great depth and great richness regarding the things which you cannot see, the things of God that are enumerated and elaborated in His Word regarding the return of Christ. "It is this hope that anchors our souls with an eternal weight of glory which cannot be moved by any circumstances." There is no circumstance in this life that can move an eternal weight of glory. An eternal weight of glory carries the weight of eternity. Therefore, it cannot be moved, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves. Sometimes they are challenging. But that's why we have the hope as an anchor to our souls, because the eternal weight of glory cannot be moved. "It is this hope that anchors our souls with an eternal weight of glory, which cannot be moved by any circumstances. It is this hope that keeps us pure and untarnished in this world." Because we live in the world, we come from all different walks of life. We come from near and far to this wonderful location here in Orlando, Florida. But you know what? We can live untarnished. We can leave the world behind. We can leave those things that the sin that just so easily besets us, we can just put that aside. It says in 1 John 3, 2 and 3, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." When?
Now.
When?
Now.
Now we are the sons of God. Now I know at times we don't feel that way. We get challenged, don't we? We all do. But it's still what the truth says. And that's what's going to make you free. When you and I believe that we are now the sons of God. Sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." It's not fully realized at this point. "But we know that when He, Jesus Christ, shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." What a day that's going to be. To see Him face to face. To see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, face to face. With a new body and rewards. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Well, if this is true, then when the hope lives within you and I, you can live a purified life, meaning from the contaminants of the world, from the fear, from the negatives, from the things that weigh you down, you can live pure. Because this word pure means to be pure even mixed with things that can possibly contaminate you. And you still stay pure. That's right. And it says, purify himself even as he is pure. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ pure? You know he is. Absolutely. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so are we. This is going to be a tremendous, tremendous time in God's Word. And our prayer is that you take and enjoy all God is offering and holding out to you in healing, in comfort, in understanding, in wisdom, and hope. Through our returning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's our prayer. That you take away great truth, meaningful truth to you that helps to change your life, that you can continue to live as a glory to God. So we have some wonderful things planned. And John, you're going to tell us a little bit about some of the things. So go ahead.
You know, what Reverend McNally was just sharing is amazing. The hope is such a big part of what God's written in His Word. That section in Hebrews 10 where He, you know, read to us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but that we're to live each day like we see that day approaching. Just a couple of verses before that, it says that we're to hold, now in the King James it says we're to hold fast to the profession of our faith, but literally what that says is you're to hold fast the confession of our hope. God wants us to hold on to that. And then just a few verses later, He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. See, interwoven is the hope. It's great reward to walk boldly and confidently, holding on to the reality that God's going to send His Son back for us. And that prefaces Hebrews chapter 11, where it goes in and lists all these great men and women and how they walked for God. How we're going to see how the hope has resonated in the hearts of men and women from Adam and Eve all the way through to today. And that we can live with great confidence. We can hold on to that hope and live each day like that's a reality. Because it is. We don't know that He's not coming back tomorrow. That'd be better than finishing this meeting. You know, we're going to have a great time. Hebrews 11 starts off with believing. You know, because we want to walk with believing. It says believing, in the literal, it says believing is the title deed of things prayed for, the evidence they are yours before they are seen. And during the course of this weekend, we're going to see how healing is a big part of what God has for us. We're going to learn so much of the Word, our believing is going to be on the rise. We're going to make ministering available on more than one occasion. As the Word is rising in your hearts and it's becoming just so real to you, you know, God calls Himself in 2 Corinthians, He says, I am the God of all comfort. And He comforts us. He says, I'm the Father of mercies, the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our tribulation or challenges, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble or any challenge with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That comfort is encouragement. God wants us to be with one another and to be encouraged with His Word. And we're going to face challenges, like Reverend McNally just said. We're going to face these challenges that come up at times, but we stand together. So as you are building, and the Word's building in your hearts, you know, look and see how you can give to one another. It's not just going to be a specific time when you're sitting here in a ministering service. It can be when you're in your rooms, in your hallways, you know, all around this grounds. We're going to bless this ground because of you being here. And then we're going to have a communion service on Sunday morning. It's welcome to whoever wants to come. It's in your program. We expect that God's been looking forward to this as much as we have. And we're going to have a great time with each other, rising up, and we're going to be greater men and women by the time we leave on Sunday.
That's great, John. So after the main session on tomorrow morning and on Saturday evening and on Sunday morning, if you want to be ministered to, you can come down up front. And if you want to minister, both, we'll make that available. We also have a prayer room that's set up in your booklet. If you want to get some quiet time, you just want to pray. It's a great time to get with the Father and share your heart with Him and pray about some specific things. So we have a lot in store to enjoy. And Tom, you've got some things you want to share about connecting.
Yes, absolutely. We are so excited to have this particular group of people together because this is a weekend of new beginnings. I believe that you're coming here for the same reasons that we are. We want to make a fresh start every day, and we really want to have this truth live in our hearts, and we can do that together. And one of the ways that we do that is that we reach out and we get to know somebody that we haven't known before. Not everybody here has spent years together collecting experiences together. But you know, one of the fastest ways to make friends is to share the word together. And this is your opportunity. Meet somebody you've never known before and share the truth that is hitting your heart this weekend, and then see what kind of relationship God is going to make available to you quickly so that you can have the blessing of that friendship and that fellowship. So this is a weekend of new beginnings. And as we've been looking at our hope, I was recently excited to learn about this verse in Ephesians 2, verse 14. You'll pardon me if I read it off my cell phone. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Did you know that we would not have our hope if it were not for an act of creation? King James says here that to make in himself of twain one new man. And the Greek is to create in himself of two one new man. So God took the two, Israel and Gentiles, and of the two, he created one new man. And that's how we have our hope. It was an act of creation. How many times has God ever created anything, brought something into existence which never existed before? The church of the body is like no body that has ever existed anywhere at any time, and we are the members. So let's rub elbows and enjoy the time together. It's your opportunity. God bless you.
That's great.
When it talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, we want to provoke one another to love and good works. That's a reason why we fellowship. And to key off what Tom was sharing, that provoking is to sharpen. We don't want to dull each other. We want to sharpen each other to one end, to love and to good works. And this is part of what we're going to do throughout this weekend, as we've been encouraged so far to do. So get outside the nine dots. Get outside the box. Meet somebody. Share your life with them. And allow God to work in you. It's a new beginning, as Tom mentioned. The life of doubt is over. It's over. A life of love and hope and richness in the quality of life. It's a new beginning. And we should pursue that with vigor. And we should place great value on it. So we're real excited about it. We have three MCs for the event. And if you gentlemen would come up, I just want to have you look at them. They're just awesome ministers. Mr. Ted Badon, Mr. Todd Sinchich, and Mr. Todd Grillo. So these three gentlemen are going to be see, to put on an event like this, you need individuals like this, ministers that help to navigate us and move us through our program. And they're going to do that with great love and tenderness and precision and heart. And it's a big deal. So we're very thankful for you guys. And it's going to be a great time. So
should we tell them where they're from?
Sure. Todd's from Montana. I mean, Ted's from Montana. Todd, the three T's. We wanted them to sing in like, hello, hello, hello. We're working on it. It's the Todd, and Ted show. So Ted is from Montana, Todd is from Florida, and Todd is from New Jersey. So give those guys a hand. Thank you, gentlemen. Well, we want to continue with the cupcakes and the hot chocolate, and we're also going to continue with our wonderful, wonderful musical presentation by Mr. Dean Miller. So let's continue to enjoy the fellowship one with another and anticipate a great weekend. Dean will continue to play his music, and then we'll come up later and close things out.